Well, I want to wish everyone a happy new year. So glad that you are here this morning to be with us today. And we're going to be looking at some new things this year. Each year on the first Sunday of the month, I try to pick a kind of a themed lesson. And for this year, we have the theme, the blessings of the bride, or blessings for the bride. That's what I would like for us to think about this year. We're going to be looking at the various different blessings that are bestowed on God's people, the church. When we read in the Bible about the bride of Christ, the Bible is telling us about the church. And so there are great blessings that the church has, and that only the church has, because she is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So we, that is the church, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And as we go through this year, we're going to look at some of those spiritual blessings. We have them listed here in Ephesians chapter 1, forgiveness of sins, predestined for adoption, part of the family of God. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We have that which is entrusted to us, the Word of God. We have so many blessings that Paul lists here in chapter 1. We'll be looking at those blessings this year and thinking about them, and specifically as they relate to our being the bride of Christ. Now, this is a metaphor in many ways, because when we think about a husband and a wife getting married, it's just those two individuals. But the church is composed of many people. And so in thinking about the church in this way, we're thinking about her metaphorically as the bride of Christ, one church, one body, and that is the bride of Jesus Christ. Well, the church is not some abstract concept either. The church are people, right? And when we speak about the church, we're speaking about ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, the Bible tells us that Jesus wants the church to be without spot and without blemish. And so these blessings that are given to the church are designed to accomplish that great purpose. And this year we'll be looking at how that works. But before we get into the actual blessings themselves, I thought we would spend a few moments talking about the nature, the characteristics of these blessings. And we're not going to be exhausting that topic by any means, but I would just have us think about what these blessings are themselves. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about. The bride is blessed with every spiritual blessing. And these blessings, some of the characteristics of these blessings are as follows. First of all, these blessings are endowed. That is, they are a gift from God to us. Second, these blessings are enriching. That is, their purpose is to cause us to flourish and to grow and to reproduce God's people. And then finally, these blessings are exclusive. That is, they are only for the bride. They're only for God's people. And so those three things are what we want to look at this morning. So as we think about the blessings of the bride, first of all, the blessings of the bride are endowed. They are a gift from God. And that's what we would like to look at for a few moments here. The blessings are given. And when you think about giving a gift specifically to a bride, what do you expect when you give that gift to a bride? Well, first of all, you expect that she will keep that gift, right? That she's not going to return it. Secondly, that she will appreciate that gift. That gift is given for her to help her and to encourage her. And so she will appreciate. And then third, you hope that she will use that gift so that that gift can then serve the purpose for which it is given. And likewise, these spiritual blessings are God's gift to the bride of Christ, and they serve a purpose. Look at, for example, in thinking about these gifts, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. God wants us to hold on to these gifts that he's given. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." He wants us to hold on to them, to keep that gift, and to appreciate these gifts that he has given to his bride. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4 says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." Paul was thankful for what God had given. And we need to be thankful and appreciative of what God gives. And he wants us to use these gifts as well. Think about Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, and the giving of gifts and how God wants us to use these things. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors or shepherds, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So these gifts are given for a purpose, that they might be used, just as when you give a gift to a bride, you expect her to use it and appreciate it and hold on to it and keep it. Yes, these blessings are given by God. They are endowed, and they come through Jesus Christ. They come through his life, his teaching, his example. They come through the sacrifice that he made on the cross for us and the message of the gospel. We receive these gifts, and they are located in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "And so they are in Christ," and that expression, "in Christ," is so important because the gifts that God gives to his bride are just for his bride, and they're not for any other. And we need to think about that carefully. And so they cannot be accessed outside of Christ Jesus. These blessings are, secondly, by the grace of God. The grace and favor of God. You know, being a bride, just because someone is a bride, doesn't mean that she is going to receive a gift, right? Just being a bride does not merit gifts. Gifts are given by favor. Gifts are given by grace. Just being a bride doesn't earn one anything. In our culture, traditionally, the father of the bride pays for the wedding. Now, our culture isn't a perfect example because I know there are exceptions to that in our culture today, and that's fine. But, you know, this is an illustration. Her sole duty, that is the bride's sole duty then, is to prepare herself for the wedding. And that's what she focuses on, right? Preparing for the wedding. It's others' responsibilities to give the gifts. Well, the bride is supposed to prepare for the wedding. You know, the church, in carrying this metaphor over to the church has done nothing to earn these blessings. We do not earn God's blessings. We do not merit them. Just as a bride does not earn the gifts, so neither does the church. The alien sinner comes to the wedding with nothing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for you're saved by grace, not of works. It is a gift of God, saved by grace through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God, right? So we're not saved by our works. We can't do a work and turn to God and say, okay, God, now you owe me salvation. That's not how it works. God graciously gives us salvation when we trust and obey Him, when we come to the wedding, so to speak, and prepare for the wedding. And the Father has paid for the wedding with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we read, therefore take heed to yourselves unto all the flock. And the flock here is talking about the church, right? Amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The church was purchased with the blood of Christ. The wedding is paid for by the Father. What is it our responsibility to do? To show up, to prepare and show up to the wedding. And how do we prepare ourselves? By hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By believing that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. By repenting of our sins. The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30 teaches. By confessing Jesus as Lord. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10 says. And by being baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. When we're baptized, we are enrobed in Christ. For everyone who's been baptized has put on Christ, according to Galatians 3, verse 27, which we'll discuss a little further in here. And so we prepare for this wedding. The blessings are by the grace and favor of God, but we must prepare for the wedding to receive these wonderful gifts. And when God gives His gifts, He does not take them back. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He does not give like some people give. They give and then they expect something in return. They want something back out of it. They want their, and if they don't get it, they want their gift back, you know. That's not how God gives. And His gifts are beautiful. They never grow old. They never wear out. Think about the gifts in terms of, for example, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those gifts never wear out. They're not like a physical gift, right? Which, you know, when my wife and I got married over 30 years ago now, we received a microwave. Someone gave us a microwave, and it was a very nice gift, and we used that microwave for a long time. But eventually, it died. It broke. Something happened to it, and we don't have it anymore, and we had to get a new microwave. Why is that? Because these physical gifts that we give, they wear out. But God's gifts don't wear out. There's no law against them. They can be used every day in the fullest measure of using them if we will appreciate them and use them for what they are. They will never get lost. They will never get stolen. and God is faithful with his gifts. James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so we have these good and perfect gifts from God, and he has given them to us graciously, and he doesn't take them back. Nevertheless, the bride may reject the gifts. What would you think about a bride who rejected her wedding gifts? Why, that would just be unheard of, would it not? And you would think, who does she think she is, rejecting these gifts that all these people have bought for her benefit, for her flourishing, that she can then be blessed in this way? What kind of bride would this be? Well, the Bible says that we have the ability to reject God's gifts, believe it or not. We don't want to do that. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So God's gifts are irrevocable, but nevertheless, we can reject them. We must not do that. We need to appreciate these wonderful gifts that God has given to his people. Secondly, the blessings or the gifts of the bride are enriching. That is, first of all, they are a gift from God. They are endowed by God. But then secondly, they are enriching. They have a purpose. These gifts are designed to accomplish something. And what is it that God wants to accomplish? The flourishing of the bride. He wants to enrich the bride and to help her as she is making her way through life. These blessings are designed for faithfulness. You know, we help brides. We want brides to be faithful to their marriage. We want husbands to be faithful to their marriage also. In thinking about this illustration, today we know that there are great problems in marriage in the world today. It's under serious threat. But in God's way of thinking about things, marriage is a holy institution. And he is the husband. Jesus Christ is the husband, right? And he is faithful. He will always be faithful. And so we don't have to worry about his faithfulness. But the bride has a challenge here. The bride must be faithful to her husband, Jesus Christ. And the gifts are given, the blessings are given to encourage her faithfulness. Think about Colossians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. Listen to this verse. It says, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, that is you, his people, the church, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. So there's a condition there. We've got to continue in the faith. We've got to be faithful to the bridegroom. But look, the gifts are given. What was given? The body of his flesh through death. For what purpose? To present you, the bride, holy and blameless and above reproach. You see, that's the purpose. But we must be faithful to him. And so the blessings are designed for faithfulness. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says. And so the bride needs to be faithful to the bridegroom. The bride also needs to be faithful to the bride's work. The bride has a work to do. We're going to talk about that. We recognize that even from our earthly relationships. There is a husband and there is a bride. There's a bridegroom and there's a bride. The bridegroom has a work to do and the bride has work to do in a marriage, both of them together. They both must contribute to that marriage in order for it to be successful. And the bride must contribute to the work also. That is speaking of the church. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Faithfulness to the work that is given to do. And we are equipped to do this work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God has equipped the bride to do the work, every good work that she needs to be involved in doing with these great blessings. And so the blessings are designed for faithfulness, but the blessings are also designed for growth. As a young bride, that who is recently married to a husband, there is a tremendous amount of growth that must occur within her life and within the husband's life as well. But we're looking at Christ and the church now. Christ is the standard. He's the model. And the church then must grow to his example, to his teaching. And so there is blessings given for growth. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, we see that these blessings help us in regard to being encouragement, to exhortation. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There is encouragement or exhortation within the church. And that encouragement at least partially comes from our assembling together on the first day of the week. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So we are to assemble together, and that is a great blessing that God gives us to encourage the bride in her growth. These blessings are designed for growth, for exhortation, and for correction as well. Notice 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so there is forgiveness, and that is designed for correction so that we will change and that we will grow thereby. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10 says, "We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them. But he," that is the Father, what does he do? He chastens us for our profit or for our benefit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. You see, the correction that God gives is for growth so that we can participate in his holiness. And so the blessings are designed for growth, for exhortation, for correction, and for doing good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. What bride is there who does not want to be doing good works? I would say that if there is a bride out there who does not want to be participating in good works, there is something wrong with that marriage. There's a problem. But brides generally want to do good works. And so that is what the church is created for as well. Titus 2 and verse 14 says that Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. The bride is to be zealous of good works. These blessings are designed for growth, exhortation, correction, and good works. And these blessings are designed for reproduction. When we think about a husband and wife marrying, every father and mother of the bride is expectant, right? They know what is to come eventually. Grandchildren, that's what they want. They want reproduction. They want the family to grow. That is what they desire. And God's blessings are designed for reproduction as well. And we're talking about evangelism here. We're talking about taking the word of God and spreading it to others so that God's church may grow and flourish, so that the bride may be fruitful. Yes, that is what we're talking about. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus said in John 15 and verse 8, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to reproduce and evangelize. Romans 7 and verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The church is supposed to bear fruit. If there's the bride is not bearing fruit, then there's a problem, isn't there? And we know that brides go to great lengths to resolve those problems when there is no fruit bearing in the marriage. The church also must bear fruit. And if the church is not bearing fruit, there is a problem. And we need to go to great lengths to resolve that problem. God wants us to bear fruit as the bride of Jesus Christ. And then finally, as we think about the blessings of the bride, they are endowed to the bride. They are enriching to the bride. And they are exclusive to the bride. These blessings are for the bride alone and for none other. What would you think about those gifts if you went to the wedding and you gave your gifts to the bride? And then the bride turned around and said, hey, just come in and help yourself. Take as many of these presents as you want and let anybody just have them, whoever wants them. I think I would have a problem with that. Because why? Because I didn't bring my gift for just anybody. I brought it for the bride. I brought it for that marriage. That's who it was intended for. And I expect it to go to who it was intended for. And you see, these blessings that God has given, he has given them to the bride. And they are for the bride alone. And he expects these gifts to go to who it was intended for. And that is, of course, the church of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God, listen to this, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where are we alive to God? In Christ Jesus. That's where we are alive to God. Those who are outside of Christ are not alive to God. It's only those who are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wives, what would you think of a husband who gave away the gifts from him that are only for you to someone else? I bet you would not appreciate that very much. And I dare say you would be correct in not appreciating it, because those gifts are for you alone. And think about this. These gifts are for the bride alone. They are in Christ Jesus, and in Christ is the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And who gets the benefit of that? Just anyone and everyone? No, only the bride. Why? Because she is the bride. That's why. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. In Christ, these gifts are given. The blessings are not for any others who are not the bride. So think, for example, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where is the newness? Who is the new creature? The one who is in Christ Jesus. Not the one who is outside of Christ. Not the one who is not married to Christ, but the one who is in Christ. In Galatians 3, in verses 26 through 28, puts it this way, for you are all children or sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Where are we one? In Christ Jesus. Where are we the children of God? In Christ Jesus. Where do we have access to the Father? In Christ Jesus. And so these blessings are not for those who are outside of Christ, only those who are in Christ. And these blessings are defined by the bridegroom alone. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. He is the husband. The bride is defined by him. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. That is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church, and it is an exclusive relationship. It's a relationship that is defined by him, the bridegroom. There are many false brides in the world today. Unfortunately, that is the case. But there is only one bride, according to the Bible. There is only one body, one church. Jesus said regarding these false brides, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The husband does not want a false bride. He wants a true bride. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Matthew 15 and verse 13, he said, regarding all the false brides that are out there in the world today. Jesus will accept only one bride, and that is his bride, the church of Jesus Christ. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If the church is not the fullness of him, it is not the bride of Jesus Christ, and it is not the one body. And when the false bride comes along, we need to look and say, no, no, I do not want to be a member of the false bride. I want to be a member of the true bride, the one body, the church of Jesus Christ, the fullness of him that fills all in all. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. There is only one. It is exclusive. and the blessings for the bride are exclusive. Now, we'll be looking at these blessings that are for the bride throughout the year, each first Sunday of the month, Lord willing, unless we have a special event or something like that, which we'll have a few. But we're going to be looking at these blessings. But I want us to remember these three things about these blessings. First of all, they are endowed. They are enriching. And they are exclusive. These blessings for the bride. And we'll think about these wonderful blessings each month as we think about the wonderful things that we have in Christ Jesus. Are you a member of the bride today? Are you part of the Lord's church? Do you have access to these blessings? If you don't, then we urge you to put on Christ this morning. We talked about being prepared to come to this wedding earlier through hearing the word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus, and being baptized. We then prepare ourselves and we then put on Christ in baptism. We identify with him. We become part of that one body. We become the bride of Christ. Romans chapter 7 teaches us. Do you need to do that this morning? We're here ready to help you in that regard. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church to be faithful to your husband, Jesus Christ. And this morning you'd like to ask for those prayers. We're ready to help you with that also. Whatever your need may be, you can come make it known while together we stand and while we sing.